Amen. Did anybody got a prayer, spoken prayer request? But we have some hands tonight. Amen. Ladies want to meet on this side, gentlemen on this side. We'll have an offer of prayer tonight. We're going to have something a little unusual tonight. We're going to be having a baptizing in a few minutes. Amen. Young lady got saved this past week. Asked her when she wanted to be baptized. She said Friday night. And I said, well, that's good. Amen. You be much in prayer for the service tonight. There may be someone here lost tonight. There may be someone here in trouble. There may be someone here tonight that's brokenhearted. There may be someone tonight, amen, that's cast down. They just need to be lifted up. And I know one that can do it. I can't do all that. But I know Jesus Christ can. Amen. He came to do those things.
Yeah.
Amen tonight. Brother Joel Alexander, will you take us to the Lord in prayer, please?
God, we come to you with thankful hearts.
Our Heavenly Father, we bow before you tonight. We thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, God, for this day.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, Lord, thank you, God, for this day. Thank you, Lord, for this day.
Thank you, grace.
Oh, God, what a blessing to you.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes, and I thank you.
I'm going to go to the hospital.
Say? Amen. Upon your profession of faith, my sister. I baptize you in the name of the Father.
Yes.
And of the Son and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
bless you more tonight. Bear with us just a minute.
Bye. like I told y'all last time, I put my sister Ivy came last time, Lord, where did she? Well, I'm losing her even more. I was about to get married in November. Becca told me she killed me for didn't announce this, but she's about to get married next year. So I'm losing them one by one by one. We recruited Waverly and my girlfriend Amber. They're both sing with us every once in a while. I never really get the chance, but I've been down there contemplating on what to sing. It's hard for me to choose what to sing. Well, in services, it's not just getting up there and singing what you want to sing. If I was up here and sing something that God didn't want me to sing, I could ruin the whole entire service.
Bless your heart. You're right.
Pressure on my hands, right? But I got to thinking, the first couple of songs that y'all sang was about heaven.
Yeah.
And I believe I said this last time. I'm going to say it again just to make the devil mad. I'm only 21 years old. But I tell you one thing, heaven looks sweeter every day.
Amen.
Heaven on this old earth that would keep me from going to heaven if I had the choice.
Right.
But one other thing that there y'all mentioned about being saved, the things about salvation, and I want to sing this song. It's a song everyone knows. If you know it, you're more than welcome to sing along with us, I guess. But I'm glad that everything is under the blood.
Yes. Amen.
What things be under the blood, you wouldn't be looking at me today. I would not be here singing to you at all. I guarantee you, Brother Kyle wouldn't be a preacher either.
Right.
If it wasn't for the blood. But I'm not thankful for the blood. Y'all listen to this as we try to sing.
Bless.
I'm not what I used to be. My life.
Do you say amen?
Amen.
All right. Now, let me tell you something about what you just done. That y'all saying amen lets me know up here that you can do it. So I expect to hear it the rest of the service.
That's good.
It makes preaching easy.
That's good. Amen.
Now that I know you can do it, you ain't got an excuse now. We're going to sing this next song. We always go back and try to find the meaning of the song before we sing them. Because I don't know if you know this or not, but it's hard for us to sing and minister with a song when it first ministers to us. Whenever a song ministers to me, it's easier for me to get the song across to you because it means something to me. Well, we were making the making of the latest CD we put out, and we don't have it anymore. We got sold out of it, but the latest CD we put out, we did some research on some songs that really touched our hearts. We tried to find out who the writer was, you know, why they wrote it, things like that. We tried and tried and tried to find this songwriter for this next song, Bloodline. We traced it all the way back to the people that sang it last. I was 11th hour. We couldn't find anyone else to sing it except for them. And we called them and we said, "Do you know who wrote this?" And said, just up until about last week, we did not know who wrote it either. And we had searched for a good 2 or 3 months trying to find out who did write this song. And we got a hold of them and they said, "But the lady that wrote it is dead now." And I thought, and I said, "Well, that's funny." I said, "Do you know the story behind the song?" She said, "Yeah." She said, "She wrote it on her deathbed." And I got my mind to thinking, I said, "Well, you know, why'd she write? I mean, what was her sole purpose in writing this song?" And she said that she looked at this woman, and all she could say was, I want to write Satan one song before I die." And she said that they were floored. They were like, "What? This woman's about to write a song to Satan before she crosses over Jordan?" She said, let me tell you something. She said in the words of the song, she laid there and wrote down these words, "Even though my spirit's low, and it seems I can hardly go, I remember I'm still standing on the rock." And then in the end of the second verse, it says, "So Satan, if I were you, I'd turn around and give up too, because I do believe you're bound to lose." And the chorus says, "I've just got to tell you, Satan, you can't cross the bloodline.
That's right.
I'm covered by the blood." My grandfather said, "If Satan could cross through the blood to get to us, he'd be a saved devil. That's how strong the blood is." So listen to this. Listen.
Yeah.
glass of milk. Glass of milk.
Oh, yes. Amen.
We had a good spirit.
Amen. Yes.
I tell you what, that spirit is a season. Amen.
Yes, sir.
I like to hear season singing, season preaching, season praying.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Come on, brother. Bring whatever the Lord has.
Thank you, bless.
Thank you,
sir.
Thank you. Amen. It's already been good to be here.
Yes.
They just kept on singing, and it's been just fine. Amen. The Spirit was in it. You know, we can't have nothing but the Spirit of God. If the Spirit ain't in it here, we might as well just go on to the house and go do something else tonight, Brother Drew. The Holy Spirit ain't here. If we ain't been praying for the Holy Spirit to be here, then shame on us that we're here tonight. But I thank God for allowing us to be here. I thank God for churches that still preach the truth.
Yes.
Amen. Still live the truth.
Yes.
And ain't afraid of the truth. Amen. But we hear, no doubt you've heard some great preaching this week. I'm sorry you won't hear a whole lot from me tonight, but you know the power ain't in us. Amen.
Right.
It's in the Holy Spirit.
Right.
That's the best preacher ever. Amen.
Right.
But it sure is good. I was listening to songs and I thought about how unworthy I really am to stand up here. I don't know what the Lord sees in me, but it ain't my job to see nothing, Brother Teddy. I just do what He says. And I have found that obedience unto God is the best thing we can have as a people.
Yes, sir.
Right. You know, without obedience, I wouldn't have gotten saved. Amen. If I didn't take heed to what the Holy Spirit was asking me to do. And when I say about salvation, let's just get this straight. The only part that we have in salvation is that one step. That's it.
Yeah.
The Lord pulls on your heart, you take one step, and He'll take care of the rest of it. We've got it all twisted up today. The churches nowadays have twisted it up. It ain't some prayer. It ain't some card you sign.
It's
what God does with you.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was thinking about Brother Drew a while ago. He's talking about his granddaddy, Big Earl Barthain. He always says this, if there's no change, then there's no change. Amen.
Yeah.
It's all about salvation today. That's what we're here to preach about. That's what the Lord got in our heart. If you got your Bibles, turn to the book of Luke, chapter number 14. Chapter number 14, very familiar reading here. If you read the Bible and if you know what Jesus has said, if you're not familiar with the Bible, it's okay. Jesus is simple, amen? He is not complex. He don't make it though we can't understand it. You know why? Because He wants you to have salvation.
Right.
Now, we ain't got to dig deep for salvation. We let Him do all that digging, amen, and rebuilding. But God has been good to us. If you know that, then if you've been saved and you know that, by all means, I was looking at the Scripture and I was thinking about this youth revival.
Bless
the Lord. We watched it a couple of times. Brother Josh had it on. He was streaming it, and we watched it a couple of times. And I remember, and I'm not very old, 35 this year, but I remember being a youth in my church, and I remember being a young person. I remember being an adult and finding excuses why not to come to church.
Yeah.
You know, even as a safe person, if you look for an excuse, the devil will give you one.
That's right.
All day long. Do you know if you're lost? The devil will give you many excuses to stay lost.
Right.
And they will sound real good to you.
Right.
That's what he does. He wants you and I to have excuses to be separate from God. But you know what God wants? He don't want to hear an excuse.
Right.
Hell, he wants his submission to God. I was praying and studying about what to preach. Brother Teddy called me. And I began to think about what to preach about it and what the Lord would have me to preach about, because what I think really don't matter. It's what thus saith the Lord, and that's what matters to us today. But you know, as people, we really got a lot of excuses.
Yeah.
And we're full of them. My wife can amen you right there. I'm full of excuses. If I don't want to do something around the house, I got a good one.
Yeah.
If I don't want to cut the grass, I got a real good excuse. If I don't want to wash the dishes, I got a good excuse. If I don't want to change the baby, I got a real good excuse.
Yeah.
Or it sounds to me like a good excuse, but really to her it don't really sound nothing. Like a good excuse. We know what it's like to give excuses, don't we? I mean, when somebody wants us to do something, we'll come up with an excuse right away and we don't want to do it. Somebody asks you to move, you come up with an excuse. I got something to do. I can't help you that day. If you want to do something, though, bad enough, no excuse will stand in your way. You ever thought about that? If you really want something and you really strive for something, you won't have an excuse. You'll just get it done. And I thought about our excuses as people. You know, our excuses are pretty flimsy. When people ask us for a favor and we give them an excuse, it's usually not a very good one. When you ask somebody for a favor and they give you an excuse, you usually can see right through it. It's not a very good one. No doubt, we're going to read some scripture of some men that have some lame excuses tonight for what God had to offer. I want to just say before I get started, I want you to pay special close attention to the Bible, to the Word of God. Whether you read it or you listen to it, pay close attention, because that's the only thing that's going to help you tonight. I can't help you. Brother Teddy can't help you. Hey, these singers can't help you. Nobody can help you but God. And I'm glad that we're at the meeting tonight. If you need help, you can get it. You're literally just one prayer away from the help that you need. If it's salvation, the Lord is standing with His arms open, waiting on you. If you just want to come back, you know what He's doing? Come on back. You're literally just one step away from whatever you need tonight, and it's all right here in the Word of God. Amen. But if you got your Bibles, turn to the book of Luke, chapter 14. We'll start reading right there in verse number 15. We'll read some scripture, and we'll give what the Lord's laid on our hearts, and we'll see what He can do with this if we let Him. Amen. If we don't resist the Lord. Verse number 15, the Bible says, "And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he, speaking of Jesus, unto the man, A certain man made a great supper, and bade many, and sent his servants at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready." Ain't you glad that everything's ready today? Well, if you got a need, it's all ready. It's all been taken care of. It's ready to go. The table is set. The meal has been prepared. The seat is pulled back. It's ready for you today. Everything is on the table, and it's ready for you tonight. Whatever it is. Oh, I'm not done. I'm just stopping and giving you something. And verse number 18 was picked back up. And they, all with one consent, began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go see it. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. How about that? Verse 21, he says, So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city. Bring in the hither, and the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Now listen, go out to the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. Listen to verse 24. He says, For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. That's all we'll read tonight for the sake of time, what the Lord have on our hearts. But you know, we read this parable here. Now, I love a good parable from the words of Jesus, the mouth of Christ, the one that teaches us everything. The great teacher, Rabbi, our Lord and Savior. He's telling us something here. We can compare this great supper made by the Master to heaven itself. The Master is our God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The supper is our heaven. It's been made for us. There's a reason that we're here, and God gave us an invitation. Can I say that everybody in here will give an invitation to the supper of the Lord? You may have already got one this week. And just like these men, you've been given excuses of why you ain't come down and prayed and asked Christ into your heart. You may be on your pew and thinking, I'll do it later. I'll do it this time. You may be having these flim-flam excuses in your mind that you've been giving God why you ain't submitted to Him yet. Because we're full of excuses, ain't we?
But let's take a deep look at these excuses. Because honestly, we all give them out. Amen. If you've been dealt with the Lord by enough, you've probably no doubt gave the Lord one of these excuses yourself. I have. The Scripture led me here. Verse number 18. The first one that was bid to come, he told the Lord, he says, he told the servant, he said, "Well, tell the master that I would come, but I bought a piece of ground and I need to go see it." Now, who in their right mind would buy a piece of land, Brother Teddy, without going to look at it? That's a lame excuse. That's a pretty dumb business move right there to do that. That's a lame excuse. That's not going to hold water. And that's not where we're going to get at. But we call this excuse the Lot excuse. I would, but I got a lot I want to do. Lord, I would take the invitation. Lord, I would give my life to you, but yet there's still a lot that I still want to do. Young people, that's the biggest mistake you'll ever tell God right there. Hey, the devil will tell you that you got time. He will tell you just do what you want to do, and you'll tell God, "I'll do it later. I got a lot to do right now." That's the worst excuse we could ever have. I've heard people say, "You know, I've been convicted about the Lord. I've been convicted about salvation, but I just don't want to give my heart up. I want to live my life first." Lord, help that right there. The devil tell you that your life is without God. Satan, no doubt, has told you that you need to live a little bit longer and do whatever you want to do because you've got a lot to do left in life. Our mentality today in our culture is very poor. It's all about young people. All they want to do nowadays is destroy things and destroy their life. And I remember being young myself. You know what I wanted to do when I didn't have Christ? Destroy everything. Yeah. I did. I tried my best to destroy my own life without even knowing it today. That's what I did as a young person. See, the devil will tell you, you've got a lot to do. There's no need for you to get saved right now. Because when you get saved, you're not going to get to do all those things. Well, he's a liar. He's a liar is what he is. He's telling you that because he don't want you to be saved. He wants you to end up in hell with him. He's going to give you an excuse after an excuse after an excuse. The whole excuse that we got a lot to do, that don't hold any water. You hear people say, "I got a lot of things I want to do. I want to have friends. I want to be popular. I want to go out and party. I want to get all this out of the way so then I can live for the Lord." That's a lie from the devil. That's a lie. You know, people, don't you listen to him. Hey, adults, don't you listen to him. This is for everybody, amen. The devil give you a lot of stuff to do too. It might be the same thing as a kid, but he'll give you a lot of things to keep you out of the house of God. He'll give you a lot of things to keep you out of salvation, out of the palm of the Lord. All these excuses today. They're weak as water, Brother Teddy. They're weak as water, but we still give them out. You know, this fella, he got invited to a fantastic feast. You know, this feast, he didn't have to have anything. They didn't say, "Come, bring something, bring a plate, bring some money." He didn't say anything. He said, "Just come on in." He didn't have to have anything. But still, he said, "I got a lot to do, not right now." And I look at the Scripture. If you study a little bit, he says, he bought a piece of the world, is what he's saying. You know what the world has done for everybody? Nothing. The only thing the world would do is send people to hell in the droves. The world offers only destruction. The world that we live in, outside of our churches and our family, it's a dangerous place to be. You know why it's dangerous? Because it looks like it's got a lot to offer you. It does. The world looks like it's got everything to offer you, and it looks like you'll gain everything, and only you'll serve the world and not serve God. Let me ask you a question. Have you told God this week you got a lot to do before you get saved? The devil will tell you that. Hey, even as adults, I know adults say, "I know I ain't living right." I talked to this fella not too long ago at my work. He began to tell me all about his life, and he asked me what I did in my free time. I said, "Well, I really don't have any." I said, I serve the Lord the best, as much as I can. He said, "Oh, really?" And we began to talk about the Lord a little bit. And anyways, to save some time, he said that he wants to get saved, but yet he don't want to give up the things that he has to do. He said, "There's a lot of things that I want to do. I want to keep doing this." He said, "I want to keep doing that. I want to do this. And then when I get a little bit older, my family gets a little bit older, I'm going to get in church." I couldn't even tell him that's a good plan. I'd be lying if I told him that. Because today is the day of salvation. Amen. The Lord's dealing with us right now. And there's a reason for that. You know, I often wonder, why do we as people turn an ear to the statement that once we get saved, our lives will be ruined? Well, that's a lie, Brother Teddy. I've had more fun as a saved person than I ever had as a lost person. I ain't never woke up feeling awful about what I done the day before. I ain't never had that. Every time I come in the church house and I let the Lord touch my heart, I'm so happy. I don't know how to even explain it to you. Hey, let me tell you something. If you've heard these songs tonight and you ain't felt nothing, you better check up tonight.
Amen.
If you come all week long, you've heard the preaching of these preachers that's preached and you sit under it and you really listen and you didn't move or feel anything in your heart, something's wrong. I'm just telling the truth tonight. Hey, I've been there. I can relate to you. I know how it is as a young person to sit on the pew and just reject God time and time again and tell Him, not now, God, leave me alone. You ever told God that? That's an awful feeling. When I got a little bit older and I realized how close I was to God really leaving me alone, that's scary.
Yeah.
That's scary. He had all the authority to really leave me alone. But thank God He didn't. Thank God He didn't take them excuses that I have seriously. Amen. Thank God He gave me another chance. You know, God loves you tonight.
Yes, He does.
He loves you. He wants you to know that He loves you. You may think your mama loves you, or your daddy loves you, or your grandparents love you. You may think that your husband loves you, or your wife loves you, but nobody loves you like God does. Can't nobody make you feel the things that God can make you feel. Can't nobody turn your heart the way that He can, because He is the only one that's died for you today. He loves you, and we give Him excuses. Secondly, we get down to verse number 19. And we come to another excuse. This fellow right here, let me read the verse. He says, and another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray they have me excused. Hey, we call this excuse the later excuse. I know I need to, Lord, but maybe later. Can I tell you something? Time is not on our side. Time is not on our side. We love to say, Lord, I ain't got time right now to do what You have me to do, but I'll come later and I'll serve You. That's a bad excuse. And we're treading on thin ice when we say that. We're so guilty of thinking that we got more time. My wife and I were on our way over here a while ago. We pulled up. Or on our way, I looked at the calendar. I said, next week's the first week of August. And that really set in. It's so hot. Time stands still for me, it feels like. I look at my calendar, we're almost done with the year. Time is not on our side, people. Time is not on our side, young folks, adults. Time is not on our side. If you're an adult in here and you've had a child, you know that time is not on your side. When I hit 30, I thought, that's pretty quick. Then I had a baby, and it's like, whoosh. Time has just vapored away. The Bible says that life is just a vapor. We're just like that. We're not even here a time to make hardly a dent in the kingdom of God. Let me tell you something. Time is not on our side. There might not be a later for us. There might not be a later in our plan that God has for us. When God's knocking, it's time to open the door. It ain't time to stand at it and say, maybe later, Jesus, come back. When I got time. Maybe later. We love to say maybe later, don't we? We love to say that all the time. Somebody asks you to do something, you say, oh, maybe later. Hey, if somebody you know asks you out to dinner and you really don't want to go, you say, maybe later. Maybe later. But we ain't talking about supper time. We're talking about the end of life, amen? Or the beginning of life, amen? We're talking about eternity today. There is no excuse going to hold water before God. There is no excuse to do that today. You know, as a young person, I remember God dealing with my heart, Brother Drew, and God pricking my heart, and God getting me and drawing me in. I say, God, I don't know. Now is not a good time. Lord, now's not a good time. I got things going just how I want it to go. Things are going fine. I got friends. I'm playing ball. I got things rolling right along. I remember telling God, God, just not now. I'll get right and I'll do right, but I just can't do it right now. Maybe later. Thank God above I had a later. Because I'm standing here. But let me be clear and honest with you. We're not promised a later. Amen. We are not promised a later. The devil will lie to you and he will tell you, go ahead and live your life the way you want to do it. Go ahead and date who you want to date and do what you want to do. Live like ever you want to do. Talk the way you want to talk. Walk wherever you want to go. But and later you can get saved. The devil will tell you that. But that's not the truth. That's not the truth. You know, Satan will try his best. Try his best to keep you happy. You know that? People paint Satan as a evil, and he is evil. Don't get me wrong. You know, he'll kill you with kindness. He'll give you things that you dreamed of just to keep you lost and on your way to hell. He will keep you comfortable. He will let you build a wall around you in the church pew so you can block everything out and stay one of his. That's what he'll do. He'll keep you right where he wants you. He'll tell you in your ear, oh, you got time. Hey, as an adult, we made it this far, haven't we? Is that what we say? I made it this far. I made it this far. I got time. I'm going to tell you this. My granddaddy, I ain't never told nobody this, but my granddaddy was an alcoholic, a raging, lost man. And my grandmother was a good Christian woman, still is. She went to church every Sunday and Wednesday, every night of revival, and my papa was lost as all get out. My papa taught me some good things, but he also taught me some bad things. My papa was an evil man. He always said, I got time. I got time to get saved. I got time to get right with the Lord. You know what the funny thing about it was that he knew that he was lost.
Yeah.
He knew. He was like, I ain't got to do it right now. I remember my mom all pleading with him. I remember me going to him. I wasn't even saved. I was just in Bible school. And I would say, he was so evil that I could see it. And I said, are you saved, Papa? He said, I'll get saved later. I remember that. I got in college and playing ball. And I got a phone call. They say, your papa's sick, bad sick. He's got cancer. And he didn't have normal cancer. He had cancer of the blood cells. It was killing him very fast. You know, and I remember talking to him. And he told me that, he said, you know, I'm so glad that the Lord's still dealing with me. He said, I put him off so long. He said, and he got saved, amen, thank God.
Yes.
He got saved. But you know, he even admitted that he knew that he didn't have that much time. He said, I was playing Russian roulette with the Lord. He said, I could have died any minute lost and went to hell. He knew that as a lost person. Are you giving God excuses today? Are you telling that you got time? You may not have time. I was watching the news this week. I'm not trying to scare anybody, but I saw 3 college-age students get killed this week in Atlanta on the roads. This week, Brother Ted. This week. If you watch the news, you know the news will tell you? It'll tell you that you ain't got time. If you just watch, turn on the TV, open the newspaper, time is not on our side. There better not be no later in our vocabulary.
Bless it, Lord.
Deep down, friends, you know where you stand with God. You know. You know, the brothers sang that song, Glory, 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 a while ago. I don't know. I didn't turn around. But I'm sure I felt everybody stand up in this building. Most everybody. Can I tell you a secret? I stood up too, lost as I'll get out. I stood up. Here comes Sunday, I'm going to stand on up, tell everybody I'm saved. The whole time I'm giving God excuses. God, later. God, I'll do it later. God, don't make me do right now. I'm having too much fun. God, let me just live a little bit more in the way that I'm going right now. See, that's what we tell. We plead with God and we beg with Him. And He's begging with us. He is the Almighty God that's wanting to save your soul. And we're giving Him excuses why we want to stay away from heaven. We think about that in the grand scheme of things. Don't that sound pretty crazy? That we're bargaining our way out of heaven. We're telling God, I don't want it right now, maybe later. It's the best gift you can ever have.
Amen.
The blood of Jesus all over your heart. Hey, let me tell you something about a lost person and a saved person. The only thing about it is being saved and lost. You're going to go through trials. I don't care who you are. As a saved person, I got somebody to help me. Drew, I got somebody that's going to carry me through the valleys. I got somebody that's going to drag me even when I don't want to walk. As a lost person, destruction is your only way out. Destruction. That whole later ain't going to work, church. The whole later ain't going to work. This last one. It's a good excuse. That's what this fella thought it sounded like. But when you read this verse, you kind of laugh out loud. Verse number 20. Let's look at this. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. That sounds the most silliest thing. That you married somebody. That you're in love with them and you just can't come. And I often wondered, Brother Teddy, why did he say that? Did she just hate God, or was she lost? And he was saying, well, what's the deal? What? Why did he say that? And the Lord showed me something. We call this excuse the love excuse. You know why we call it the love excuse? Because we are in love with the wrong things. The wrong things. This scripture, this man says, I have married a wife. It looks like he loves his wife, don't he? It looks like he loves her. He says, I want to be with her for every minute. I want to be right there with her. He's in love with her. But can I tell you something, adults? If you can't lead your spouse to Christ, something's wrong.
Amen.
If you can't pull them to Christ, if Christ is not in the middle of your marriage, it's going to fall apart. Amen? It will not work. It's got to have Jesus right in the middle. We're in love with the wrong things. We're in love with the wrong things. Young people today, I remember being young, and I remember with the things that I was in love with, and it wasn't God. It wasn't God. We're in love with popularity. We love to be popular, don't we? We love, school's about to start back. We love to walk in the schoolhouse and feel like the big dog of the day and have all these friends around us because we hate loneliness, don't we? Don't everybody hate loneliness? See, we're in love with being popular. We're in love with having friends, and we're in love with all these earthly things, and we're in love with relationships. Don't get me started with boyfriend and girlfriends. Don't get me started on that, young folks. Hey, somebody liable to come to church this week just to see your girlfriend. Somebody may just be here to see your boyfriend. But see, but there's a reason you're here. Don't you give God an excuse when He knocks on your heart. Hey, you may be here for that. You may be here for that reason, but He ain't got you here for that reason. Listen to God today. Listen to God today. See, even as young people, we're in love with so many. And as an adult, that sounds silly when I thought about them. When I thought about those notes that I had wrote down, the Lord gave me. I said, "Well, that sounds silly. That sounds silly that people are in love with popularity. Because as an adult, you really don't care anymore what people think about you. As an adult, you lose every friend you got anyway, so you don't really care about friends. And you married somebody, so you don't care, you ought not care about a boyfriend or girlfriend. Those excuses don't matter, but as a young person, see, the devil will tell you that's what matters today. He'll tell you that. Because you know why he'll tell you that? Because he's a liar and he hates you. Even though he sounds like he loves you, he really hates you. Adults, we're not going to escape this either. You know, as adults today, you know, we're in love with the wrong things too. We're in love with them hobbies. Oh, good night. We're in love with fishing and camping and taking our children down to the softball field and watching them live our life through them. Can I get an amen? That's what it does. We're in love with it. We're in love with it. We give God excuses. God, I can't do what you want me to do right now. I got a lot going on. Maybe later. I'm in love with something else, God. I'm in love with something else. Adults, we love our careers. Hey, we'll sacrifice everything we got to move up in a career that we like. We'll do whatever it takes because we think we're doing the right thing. The devil's lying to you. The devil's lying to you. Material things. You know, I find out as an adult that if you ain't got a brand new SUV and a brand new house, you ain't nothing, is what they say. That's a lie from the devil.
That's right.
That's a lie. That's an excuse that ain't going to hold water. You know what we're doing, adults? We're sending our kids straight to hell. If an adult gives God an excuse, them children are walking right behind you on the way to hell. That's what they're doing. Mom and daddy's teaching them how to give God excuses. Mom and daddy's teaching them how to stay away from God. Mom and daddy's teaching them how to love everything but God. Because we won't accept the invitation that God's given us. That we won't give it. We won't just give our life to Christ. The love of all these things. Young people love them and adults love them. But love in this format will send more people to hell than I know. It will flood hell. The false sense of love. The false sense of love. You know, a lot of folks, and this is everybody, young and old, are just in love with the idea of God. We're just in love with the idea. We don't love God. We don't love His Son. And we don't love His Holy Spirit. But we love coming to the church house so folks to see us. We love coming to the church house to raise our hands and testify every once in a while to fool some folks. We're in love with the idea of being a child of God, but we don't want to be a child of God. We give Him excuses. That's the most dangerous place to be today. Right there. In love with the idea of being a Christian, but yet not following God with all of your heart. You're in a very dangerous place. The Bible called that lukewarm. That's what He said one day. His spew is out of His mouth. That's what He said today. I'm telling you, church, many people are in love with the idea of salvation, but yet they don't want to commit to it today. That's young and old. That fits everybody, man, woman, boy, and girl. Everybody that can be convicted today fits that category right now. That excuse. I'm in love with the idea, but I just don't really want to do it. And we get that point because we don't want to give up our flesh desires. And that's what's going to happen. If you're lost, you know it. You know it. Only you and God know your case where you're at today. If God's touched your heart all week long and pricked your heart and you got there and gave Him excuses, you know that.
Yeah.
Hey, God gave me this sermon for one reason. And I don't know it, but He does.
Yes.
You know, I can relate to this. Brother Drew talked about singing songs. You know, as a preacher, I can relate to giving God excuses. Many times, as a lost person, I've gave God excuses. I gave Him excuses. I angered Him. I'm about to finish this, but I want to read the last few verses here. It's very important that we cover all this text tonight. All this text. So in verse 21, I just want to get through it. It says, "So the servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant." Now the parable teaches us that the rejection of his invitation angered God.
Yes.
That's what happens. When God has invited you to sit down and you turned your back on God, I wonder how He really feels about us. He says, "I gave my Son for you. God turned His back on Jesus Christ so that we can be saved today." You know what? We give Him excuses of why we can't. I wonder how angry He really is with us when we give Him excuses. When we give Him that way. When we tell him in verse 22, he says, "And the servant said, Lord," after verse 21, he says, "Go in lanes of the city, bring in the hither, the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind." Verse 22, he says, "And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is still room." That's good news. If God's touched your heart, you still got room. If He's still touching you today, that means He's still got a place for you. Amen. He's still got somewhere. He's still got salvation for you if He's still touching your heart. But are you going to give Him an excuse today? Are you going to tell Him why you can and why you can't? Verse 23 says, "And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out to the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled." This invitation, it's inclusive. That means it includes everybody. It don't what race, color, religion, creed, it don't matter. Christ died for all, and all belongs to God, and we are to be His child only through the blood of Jesus Christ. This is the inclusive invitation. It's for everybody. Don't you be sitting there thinking you say because you've been in church your whole life. Don't you let the devil tell you, you've never been changed, you're lost today. If God's dealing with you and telling you to get right, listen to Him. Listen to this Scripture. Listen to what He's got to say. Listen to what He says in verse 24. He says, "For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden, shall taste of my supper. They may not be another invitation. In this parable, these men only got one. One invitation these men got. The servant didn't go back. The master didn't say plead with them. The master didn't say beg with them. He didn't say bribe them to come in. He said, okay, go get the ones that want it. And these that I bid, they ain't coming. You know what that says? Not everybody's going to heaven. That's the truth. Not everybody. That's already been decided, matter of fact. Not everybody's going. But if God's dealing with you tonight, if God's dealing with you tonight, He's still inviting. Brother Josh, you come with a song. You get a song ready. Church, it's a serious business. It's serious. You know, if you leave out of the house of God tonight, unchanged or untouched, it's not God's fault. It's our fault. Hey, even as a saved person, God may be asking you to do something for you. He may be calling you into preaching. He may be calling you into ministry. He may be begging you to get right in Him. You're still spurning the invitation. We're giving Him these lame excuses. But ain't it good, ain't it glad that He gives you another chance if He's touching your heart tonight? Listen, I'm going to end with this right here. When death comes, when you face death, you can't give Him an excuse. You can't say, death, I'm not ready yet. It's coming. You can't excuse death. And when you stand before God in the day of judgment, when we all stand there before God Almighty, He is not going to ask us, what's your excuse? Why didn't you accept my Son as your Savior? Why didn't you? There's not going to be a time for that. And church, I'm asking you, friends, I'm asking you, lost person, I'm a saved person, whatever God's dealing with you about, don't give Him an excuse tonight. Don't give Him another excuse. It's not going to hold weight. It's not going to be anything. You're just putting off the inevitable time. Time is ticking. There's not a good excuse. There's not a good excuse. There's not a good reason to go home lost today. There's not a good reason for that. There's not a good reason. If you'll stand to your feet, if they sing a verse of invitation, don't you just come on down. Don't even wait. Just come on down. Let God deal with you tonight. Let God do something with you. Church, I'm telling you, if God asks you to be saved, if God pricked your heart in some format, don't leave the house of God. Don't walk out of here unchanged. Don't think that you've just got enough time to get right with God. Don't tell Him you've got too much to do. Don't tell Him you've got too much life to live. We're not promised tomorrow. We may get up. We may not even get up tomorrow. I don't know. But today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that God will change your life and heal your broken heart. You understand that today? Yeah, I know what it's like to sit there in the pew and tremble with fear and thinking, Lord, if I could just get out the pew and just get home and run away from God, if I could just get far enough. But I'm going to pray that He don't leave you alone. I'm going to pray that you get plumb miserable until you give in to God.
Amen.
Don't give Him an excuse tonight. Don't give Him an excuse. Excuse getting away. Come on. Yeah, amen. Come on now. God's pleading with you. Just come on now. Don't fight it no more. Don't fight it. Hey, don't just think it's for the kids. It's for you too, amen. God save everybody, amen.
Salvation celebration over here? Huh?
Yes.
Okay. We got refreshments, I guess, over in Fellowship Hall, so everyone's welcome to come. But we will come around now and give Alice the right hand of church fellowship, giving her all the rights and privileges that any other member is offering the church.
Amen.
And I'm going to ask Brother Lee Waters if he'll ask God's blessing on the food in the fellowship hall over here, and to close the service, and we'll come around on the way to the fellowship hall and give Alice the right hand of church fellowship.
But one more thing, the altar is still open
right
now. It still could be your Friday night, could be your night of salvation. And as we do this shaking of hands, your heart may still be troubled. Please don't leave troubled, Lord, this way. I pray for you individually who may be here that's lost. Please find him this night. Heavenly Father, we bow, Lord, this evening, Lord, with an humble and thankful heart. And we thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day. Lord, the Holy Spirit, Lord, this night, the message is songs, Lord, and how it's touched our hearts. Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray, Lord, that it's lodged in minds and souls, Lord, this message. Heavenly Father, Lord, please, please, Lord, just would you extend your arms of grace and mercy out of, again, Lord, to those that may have turned you away. Lord, bless the food that we're about to eat. We pray, God, Lord, that it will be nourishment to our bodies. We thank you, Lord, for the seniors, Lord, that's come this way. Lord, may you give them a safe trip, Lord, back to their house. And Lord, for all of us, Lord, a safe trip back home. We thank you, Lord, for all that you've done, for the baptizing, Lord, for the touch of your Holy Spirit. And again, Lord, we pray, Lord, for someone to find you as a Savior. And we ask this in your sweet and holy, precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Spirit.